Killing me, man. We ready? The House will come to order. Please stand, and the flag salute this morning will be led by Representative Nathanson.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The opening ceremony this morning will be presented by Chris Anderson from Corvallis, reading a poem. He is a guest of Representative Olson. Mr. Anderson.
Windfall. After the storm, the forest is still the forest. The scars are openings. Light shines through them, above the tangle of fallen trees. Dazed at first, the old man and old woman resume their puttering in the house by the pond. They wake in the morning and move among their books, then go out to study the windfall, the puzzle of it, the pattern. They know they still have time. Every stand is different. Matchsticks on the hillside, riprap by the stream. Above the chaos, the great spruce and the fir. In youth, we think that youth is ours. We think that it defines us, but it doesn't. It passes away, and who we really are remains. For a moment, I do not even fear the coming of age, the sagging of faces, the gnarling of hands. After the storm, in the house by the pond, I think, no. Maybe everything that was promised is true. Maybe we are all being transformed.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Courtesies. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Colleagues, I'm pleased to introduce Chris Anderson, our poet for today. Chris Anderson is a professor of English at Oregon State University, where he has taught since 1986. He is the author and co-author of 10 books. His latest collection of poetry, titled My Problem with Truth, was published in 2003. He's the author of several textbooks, and his work, Edge Effects, Notes from an Oregon Forest, was a finalist for the Oregon Book Award in Creative Nonfiction. In 2000, he received the Excellence in Teaching Language Arts Award from the Oregon Council of English for his years of exemplary practice. Chris lives in North Corvallis with his wife Barbara and their family. He's also an ordained Catholic deacon, guiding parishioners at St. Mary's Church in Albany. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you, Representative Olson, and again, welcome, Mr. Anderson. Further courtesies, Representative Springer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Colleagues, please welcome today some honorary pages from Lourdes Public Charter School in Sios, so that's right over the top of Rogers Mountain from my house. We have Brad Bender.
Is he here now?
And he's 13 in the seventh grade. Would you stand, please, Brad? I'm going to have each of you stand. And I was talking to Brad about what I could put on this form, and we settled on the video game king. That is like one of his favorite things. And then we have Claire Seaton. Claire also goes to Lourdes, attends Lourdes School. She's 12. She's in the seventh grade. I love this. She enjoys speech tournaments and reading. She also swimming and wants to be a biologist or a science teacher. And then we have Ben Jones. Ben is 14. Enjoys football, basketball, and track, and certainly you can tell which sport he excels in. And then we have Kelsey Hendricks. Kelsey is 13 and wants to be an orthodontist. So please, colleagues, welcome all of them to their House of Representatives.
Thank you all for coming and serving as honorary pages today. Representative Witt.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, I'd also like to introduce an honorary page this morning, Elijah Antonoro. Elijah, if you'd stand up, thank you very much. Colleagues, Elijah is the winner today of the longest distance traveled to be an honorary page. He comes to us from Lawrenceville, New Jersey, and traveled to Oregon to be with his grandfather, who is one of my staff members, Irv Fletcher, and to experience the Oregon session firsthand. Elijah is a member of the DECA Club, which is a business club at Lawrence High School, the Darfur Club as well, and his career goal is to own his own company. So, Elijah, welcome and thank you for volunteering today.
Again, thank you for serving as pages and welcome to the House. Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, I wanted to warn you, ask that you welcome Jefferson County into the House. Today we are visited by the County Administrator and Commissioners, Jeff Rasmussen, John Hatfield, Mike Ahern, and Wayne Fording.
Welcome, gentlemen. A few familiar faces over there. And Representative Wingard.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, I'm hoping you will extend courtesies today to Mary Nunnenkamp. Mary lives in Washington County and has for 35 years. She recently retired from 33 years of public service, working for 911, the Washington County Sheriff's Office, and the Washington County Commission on Children and Families. She is the wife of Randy Nunnenkamp, a Washington County Sheriff detective who was killed nearly 3 years ago while off duty. Prior to his death, he taught child sex abuse prevention workshops and worked at the national, state, and local level, including traveling to New York City as critical incident responders. They both did this after the tragedies of 9/11. After her husband's death, Mary created a scholarship foundation in his name to put former foster care recipients through college and vocational schools. She is also here with her son, Brett Olson, a graduate of the University of Oregon, and a freelance journalist. Colleagues, please welcome them both to the Capitol today. Thank you.
Thank you, and welcome to the Capitol, and thank you for your service. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, once again, and colleagues. Up above us here, I'd just like to share with you, visiting today in the upper gallery is a group of 60 students from North Albany Middle School in Albany who are in the 7th and 8th grades, and leading this group is Jessen Roach. Please welcome them to the Capitol.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to your Capitol and to the House. Further courtesies, our moment in Oregon history. Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Nice to see you there this morning.
Thank you.
Madam Speaker, as you well know, along with the representative from Milwaukee and Southeast Portland, well-behaved women rarely make history.
So, be careful, Representative Gilliam.
I will. So I am so pleased to bring this history minute about, and this is special, colleagues, Lily White. Photographer Lily White is best known for the photographs she made while traveling on her custom-built houseboat with her friend, fellow photographer Sarah Hall Ladd. In 1898, she joined the Oregon Camera Club, which allowed honorary and lady members to enjoy all the privileges of the club without voting or qualifying for the office. No comment. White's proficiency in photography was such that the club employed her as an assistant secretary, and she demonstrated negative talking. I know you're all shocked by that. She listed her livelihood as artist and Oregon Camera Club. So she began to show her work, and then it took her down to San Francisco to the Mark Hopkins Institute of Art. In 1903, She was among the first associate members admitted into the photo session, an avant-garde group of photographers organized in New York City. So now she was a prominent artistic photographer of her era, though she never exhibited her work with that group. At about the same time, she began spending time on our own Columbia River, living on her 80-foot-long houseboat, the Racerk, with an up-to-date floating darkroom and all of her photographic equipment. By 1905, White was no longer making photographs and was listed in the city directory not as an artist, but as a Christian Science practitioner. She moved to Carmel, California in 1923, and this is key, she died there from apoplexy on November 14th, 1944. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Gilliam. Further courtesies. All right. Thank you. Verification of a quorum. The clerk will open the voting system to determine the presence of a quorum. Representative Jefferson Smith. Representative Jefferson Smith. Off the floor. Representative Galizio. Present. Quorum is present. Excused. Representative Jensen and Representative Kotek. Messages from the governor. Messages from the Senate.
Madam Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you the Senate has passed Senate Bills 114, 115, 327, 334, 96, 589. Madam Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you that he has signed Senate Bills 40, 328, and SJM-1.
First reading, memorials and resolutions. Standing committee reports. The committee report file has been distributed. Special committee reports. Propositions and motions. First reading of House bills. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 2333 relating to authentication of financial records by affidavit and grand jury proceedings. House Bill 343 relating to boundary changes under jurisdiction of Metropolitan Service District.
Bills read second time are passed to third reading. Consent calendar. The clerk will read the bill and short summary.
House Bill 2240 relating to chiropractic physicians, AIDS chiropractic physicians, and State Board of Chiropractic Examiners to insurance provisions relating to a notice of professional negligence.
Question now rises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2240. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Get off this screen.
You press that screen right down there. Yeah.
So, all right.
So once again, there we start calling the yellows.
Okay. Representative Jefferson Smith, how do you vote? No. Off the floor. Representative Widener? Representative Widener votes aye. House Bill 2240, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Okay. Representative Barker, for what purpose do you rise?
Madam Speaker, I request a return to courtesies.
Representative Barker requests unanimous consent to return to courtesies. Any objection? Hearing none. Representative Barker.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, I wish you could have a greeting for the students from Southwest Christian School in Beaverton.
Colleagues, could we hold it down a little bit? Thank you.
As you extend courtesies to the Southwest Christian students who are up in the gallery, Adam Ferguson is their leader. Welcome to the Capitol.
Welcome, students. Welcome to your Capitol and to your house. Further courtesies? All right. Third reading of House bills. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2340, relating to venue.
Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2340A. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Madam Speaker and colleagues. House Bill 2340 comes to you from the Judiciary Committee, where it was unanimously supported. The fiscal is minimal. This bill breaks down jurisdictional barriers as it applies to the crime of stalking. Should an offender commit more than one offense of stalking, crossing county boundaries, the crimes can be prosecuted in either county. Since crime knows no boundaries, this is a good bill, and it makes sense. I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, those who are of the opinion... Oh, Representative Olson, do you wish to close? Sorry about that.
No, thank you.
Representative Olson does not wish to close. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Olson, how do you vote? Olson votes aye. Representative Gilliam, how do you vote? Representative Gilliam votes aye. Representative Barnhart. Barnhart votes aye. Representative Gelzer votes aye. Representative Garrett. Garrett votes aye. Representative Jefferson Smith. Off the floor. Oh, he's off the floor. All right. House Bill 2340, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2385, relating to smoking.
The chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and that consideration of House Bill 2385 be carried over and placed in its proper order on Wednesday, April 8, 2009 calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2424, relating to Oregon Adopt a Highway Program.
Question now rises upon the third reading and final passage of House Bill 2424A. Representative Wisnett. The House will stand at ease. Representative Wisnett, House Bill 2424.
Thank you, Mrs. Speaker. Honorable, I apologize, colleagues.
All right.
Today I ask you to bring forth to you House Bill 2424A, which includes the removal of noxious weeds as part of Oregon's Adopt a Highway program. This is another good bill which I'm proud to carry, but but I have to give the idea and the credit to an Oregon citizen and constituent, Brenda Pace. Brenda approached me last summer with a proposal that we add the removal of noxious weeds to Oregon's Adopt-a-Highway program. As an avid supporter and participant of programs calling for the removal of noxious weeds, I enthusiastically agreed to work on a bill. We formed a work group of members of my staff and members of the Deschutes County Weed Advisory Board, Deschutes County Vegetation Manager Dan Sherwin, and Cheryl Howard, director of an annual Deschutes County Let's Pull Together event to pull noxious weeds and educate citizens about the dangers and cost of noxious weeds. Noxious weeds are a threat to Oregon's natural environment and the agriculture and forestry industries. A 1999 study found that noxious weeds' effects on farming, livestock, and other industries cost Oregon $83 million and 3,300 jobs. The Oregon Department of Agriculture estimates that 1.4% of the Oregon landmass is occupied by noxious weeds. Oregon recognizes the threat of invasive species, including noxious weeds, but has not been able to fund an aggressive, effective program. Colleagues, this bill will not eliminate the problem, but it will further educate our citizens about noxious weeds and demonstrate how citizen volunteerism can help fight these unwelcomed weeds. This bill was passed out of our Agriculture and Natural Resource and Rural Communities Committee with 7 yeas and 1 excused. I'd like to thank the committee for its support and the chair, the representative from Salem, who was co-chief sponsor with me on this bill. Also, I want to thank the 33 members of this chamber who are sponsors of this bill. Please vote yes on House Bill 2424A. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Wisnett, do you wish to close?
No, thank you, Madam Speaker.
Representative Wisnett does not wish to close. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Maurer, how do you vote? Maurer votes aye. Representative Nolan? Nolan votes aye. Representative Garrett? Garrett votes aye. House Bill 2424A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill. Representative Wisnett, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Request the return to courtesies, please.
Representative Wisnett has made a request that we return to courtesies. Is there any objection? Hearing none. Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, I'd like to ask you to extend courtesies of the House to a constituent, Brenda Pace. Brenda? Brenda's a member of the Deschutes County Planning Commission and the lady who proposed the idea for House Bill 2424. I thank her for that idea. And Brenda, welcome to your capital.
Welcome, Brenda. Thank you. Good to see you. Are there any further courtesies, members? All right. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2478, relating to bodily fluids.
Question now arises upon the third reading and final passage of House Bill 2478A. Representative Garrett.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2478 comes to you from your House Judiciary Committee on a unanimous vote. This bill takes the offense of propelling a dangerous substance at another person as defined in the statute and elevates that from currently misdemeanor status to a Class C felony. It's a good bill. I urge your aye vote.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Garrett, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Springer, how do you vote? Springer votes aye. Representative Greenlick, how do you vote? Excused. House Bill 2478A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2581, relating to rural health and appropriating money.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2581A. Representative Roblin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a very simple bill that took a long time in coming. As chair of the Ag and the Rural Policy Committee last interim, we took a rural health tour, and during that trip came to understand issues with respect to making sure that we have access to doctors and physician assistants and nurses throughout rural Oregon. And one of the issues that came up was a loan program that we have to repay education loans for these different groups that was housed in the Oregon Student Assistance Commission, OSAC. OSAC has been kind of the only place where we could actually give scholarships and repay these loans. And one of the concerns that came up is that OSAC has a vision about getting people into college, and therefore they take money and they access that money to help students make the choice and make it affordable to go to college. It's not one of their main functions to deal with people who have already finished their education and help repay their loans. As it turns out, the Office of Rural Health, whose purpose is to really work with rural providers and rural communities to make sure we have access to the health services we need in those rural areas, can now serve that function. What this bill does is moves from OSAC, the responsibility of this program, to the Office of Rural Health. One of the reasons this was important to the rural people was that as budgets had to be reduced and discussions were had, when OSAC was looking at all of the things that were really important to them, one of the first things that they put on the cut list each time was this repayment plan. And if you look at their criteria for why they exist, it makes sense. With respect to the Office of Rural Health, it is one of their functions to make sure that we continue to work in all the ways we possibly can to get access to the people we need. Therefore, this bill would become a high priority for them. It passed easily in the Health Committee. I would appreciate an aye vote. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Roblin. Further discussion? Representative Roland, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Thatcher, how do you vote? Thatcher votes aye. Representative Van Orman, how do you vote? Van Orman votes aye. Representative Garrett? Garrett votes aye. Representative Shields? Shields votes aye. House Bill 2581, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2583, relating to boats.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2583. Representative Roblin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. 2583 relating to boats. Really a fun bill to talk about, but really one of the more important ones from this session. And I want to take this opportunity to really have people think about invasive species. This is an invasive species bill.
Excuse me, Representative Roebling, can we hold it down, please, colleagues? Thank you.
I don't think most of us have really come to the understanding of the real battle that is waging in Oregon with regard to invasive species. If you go and drive our state, especially on the west side, you all have come to understand what happened when we allowed Scotch broom to start enjoying our wonderful environment. You can't go anywhere without finding it, and we have lost the battle with respect to that invasive species. But there are some other invasive species which can cause great harm, and they are getting closer. This bill really came about because of the quagga and zebra mussels that invaded our Great Lakes a number of years ago and have steadily progressed west since that first invasion. We have had been fortunate to be surrounded by states that did not have either of these mussels in their states, and therefore we use those borders as our protection to keep that invasive species out of our state. However, the invasion has continued. It is now in California and Nevada. We expect in the not-too-distant futures it will cross the Rockies into possibly Montana and Idaho. We hope that that does not happen, but the reality is it is on our borders. Last session I introduced this bill, and people were very uptight about having a way to fine people for putting a dirty boat in the water, and the bill died. 2 weeks after that, our state police noticed a houseboat being moved across the state, and they decided that they would pull the person over and talk to them because there were a lot of stuff on the hull of this boat. And the reality is this boat was being moved to Washington, and all over its hull were our little quagga and zebra mussels. They encouraged them, because we have no way of stopping people for that in Oregon, and they were going to Washington, that they would escort them to Washington, because in Washington they have cleaning stations to take care of the infestation, which we do not have. Another bill, another time. And so the person cooperated, went across the border, and cleaned these off the ship or the boat. Two or three other events have taken place since then with people being very cooperative and understanding, but they didn't really understand that that's what was on these boats. They bought them out of a lake, removed them, and were moving them someplace else. These mussels reproduce very quickly, and we have yet to, except for one time, we have not been unable to stop their progression once they've invaded a water body. And the one system that they did fix was a old quarry, which had no intake or out of water, so they poured enough chemicals in it to kill everything, and they actually found out a way to kill the mussels. But that's a rare exception. We aren't going to have that opportunity here. And what it does, these little guys grow so quickly that they go over any intake valve. It will kind of take millions of dollars if it got on the Columbia and took care of our hydroelectric dams, water systems, anything that takes water out of a system through pipes or whatever ends up spending millions of dollars to reduce the effect of these little mussels as they grow and clog up the systems. So what we've done here is given us, our state police, the appropriate authority to pull over. And we have been putting these signs all over the state. The Fish and Wildlife have done a good job explaining every place that you put a boat into the water. Please look at your boat. We've been doing it voluntarily. The state police have been trained to look for this. The Fish and Wildlife people have been trained. Hundreds of people at campsites and others have been trained to look for these invasive species. This gives us the authority, if someone were to say, I'm launching my boat, I don't care, that they could be fined by our state police for launching one of those boats into one of our water bodies that could, in fact, result in these invasive species being introduced to our state. Well, there's a couple of other bills that we're going to be working on. This one is just the statutory stuff. We also have a bill that will go to Ways and Means about funding some of these programs, including trying to figure out ways in which we can have cleaning stations, state-of-the-art cleaning stations, so that people, when they come into our state, can clean their boats and take care of this invasive before it gets here. It passed unanimously in our Ag and Natural Resources and Rural Policy Committee. I urge your eye support.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Roetblen, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Harker, how do you vote? Harker votes aye. Representative Gilliam votes aye. Representative Barker, how do you vote? Barker votes aye. Representative Garrett, how do you vote? Representative Garrett, Garrett votes aye. House Bill 2583, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2614, relating to rented dwelling units in flood plains.
The question now arises upon the third reading and final passage of House Bill 2614. Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, Oregon law currently requires sellers to disclose if property lies in a 100-year floodplain. House Bill 2614 extends the same disclosure requirements to landlords. In cases where such disclosure is not made and tenants suffer a loss due to flooding, they may recover the lesser of actual loss or 2 months' rent. I'd appreciate your support on this bill. Thank you, colleagues. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Buckley, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those who are opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Richardson, how do you vote? Richardson votes no. Representative Thompson, how do you vote? Thompson votes no. Representative Gilliam, how do you vote? Gilliam votes aye. And Representative Kenemer? Kenemer votes aye. House Bill 2614, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2658, relating to oral prosthetic devices.
All right. The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2658A. Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. 2658 comes to you from the Consumer Protection Committee. We heard this bill. It is an effort to bring transparency and a little more protection to consumers. It simply says that if a device, a prosthetic device, or any other kind of dental device is put in your mouth, you should be able to, upon request, find out where that device was manufactured. It also requires the dental office to keep a record of that, of where they come from, the country of origin. One of the things that was brought up in committee is that there was a situation in Ohio where there were traces of lead in a device put in someone's mouth, and then they could not trace or find the record for where that came from, and we're attempting to get ahead of that with this bill. I would point out, Madam Speaker, If you look at the vote tally from our committee on your summary sheet, it is true that the representative from the Emerald Empire appears to be everywhere all the time, but it is a misprint, and the aptly named representative from Boring, I believe, unless you'd like to correct me, was a nay, so that the representative from the Emerald Empire would only have voted once. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Gilliam, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will vote, will open the voting system. Mr. Speaker, Speaker votes aye. Representative Harker, Harker votes aye. All right. House Bill 2658A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Representative Schaffler, for what purpose do you rise?
Just to declare a potential conflict on the last bill, Madam Speaker.
Representative Schaffler declares a potential conflict on the previous bill, on House Bill 2658. So noted, state your conflict.
I'm married to the best dentist in the Pacific Northwest.
So noted. Thank you, Representative Schaffler. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2826, relating to child labor.
All right. Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2826, Representative Schaffler. No, Representative Olson, sorry.
Thank you, Madam Speaker and colleagues. House Bill 2826 is the Youth Opportunity and Responsibility Bill, bipartisan legislation that allows Oregon youth to experience the benefits of having a job. This bill is fairly simple. First, it gives the commissioner the authority to issue special permits to youth under the age of 16 to work. Secondly, it allows youth under 16 to work until 7 p.m. and then, between June 1st through Labor Day, extends the hours to 9 p.m. This bill does not weaken or undermine Oregon's child labor laws. In fact, it brings our labor laws into line with what the U.S. Department of Labor allows. It's a simple measure giving youth an opportunity to learn how to work, earn money, and manage their time. House Bill 2826 will also help appropriately prepare youth for the demands of higher education, advanced careers, and adulthood. A driving force behind this bill is gaining life experience because employers recognize how important it is to have applicants or candidates who have life experiences that can be applied toward personal careers. Several years ago, Brad Avakian and I sat next to each other on this House floor, and he and I often talked about co-sponsoring a bill that would allow kids to return to berry fields, to allow them to pick beans again, and to get them out of the house. We were concerned that youth today were not having the same opportunity that was afforded to many of us years ago to develop a great work ethic. House Bill 2826 gives Oregon youth the same opportunities that many of us enjoyed when we were young. I am pleased to say that my former House colleague, Labor Commissioner Brad Avakian, fully supports this bill, as well as the Oregon Farm Bureau. And at this point, my co-carrier from Happy Valley.
Representative Schaffler.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I believe the carrier said it quite well. Prepares our children for the future. I know my opportunity to work in the fields of Iowa growing up is still paying dividends and will for the rest of my life. Promotes a strong work ethic, physical health, get our kids out of the house, off the couch, out there baling hay and picking berries, whichever, shoveling all kinds of fun stuff. And be quite frank with you, in this these economic times, I really believe this will give an opportunity for young people not only to make money, but in all likelihood to help their families who and parents who are struggling at this time. It's a good bill. Should pass. I urge I vote.
Further discussion? Representative Riley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To the bill.
To the bill.
I didn't sign up as a sponsor on this bill, but I certainly do support it. I grew up on a farm. We had people out all the time. We had kids picking apples and peaches and doing other farm work, and it was a great experience. It was a great experience for me to go work in my uncle's strawberry field. I'm a supporter of this bill. I urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Olson, do you wish to close?
Yes, Madam Chair. Just urge an aye vote from all of you. This is a great opportunity for youth and just provide responsibility back that direction. Thank you.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those who are opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Maurer, how do you vote? Maurer votes aye. Representative Holvey. Holvey votes aye. Representative Shields. Shields votes aye. House Bill 2826, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2870, related to motor vehicles.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2870. Representative Olson.
Ready? Thank you, Madam Speaker. House Bill 2870 asks for a lifetime revocation for those who kill using a motor vehicle, to include aggravated vehicular homicide, first-degree and second-degree manslaughter, and negligent homicide, plus assault first-degree when a motor vehicle is being used. Lifetime revocations are for the very worst offenders, which currently includes those convicted of felony DUII and third-degree misdemeanor DUII. So why wouldn't those who kill via a motor vehicle be considered in that category of Oregon's worst offenders? These offenders would receive a lifetime revocation with the opportunity to petition the court after 10 years to have their license reinstated, only two more years than the current 8-year required revocation that we have today. A judge would then consider the nature of the offense, the degree of violence, other criminal behavior before and after the crime, and all relevant factors before granting the reinstatement. What it means is, if you abide by the law for 10 years, then you could possibly get your license back. Excuse me. House Bill 2870 would create that incentive. And House Bill 2870 also closes a loophole that allows offenders to begin their revocations while still sitting in prison or jail. So we don't have... excuse me. To begin their revocations while still sitting in prison or jail, so we don't have offenders who are sentenced to revocated crimes and other crimes in the same episode being allowed to begin their revocation while still serving time. I urge your aye vote on this.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Olson, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Huffman, how do you vote? Huffman votes aye. Representative Greenlick. Greenlick votes aye. Representative Riley votes aye. Representative Riley? No, maybe I didn't see. Okay. Yeah. I thought I did. No, I didn't. Wait a minute. Representative Riley, how do you vote? I saw a thumb go up. I didn't. Representative Riley off the floor. Riley is off the floor. House Bill 2870A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Representative Nathanson, for what purpose do you rise?
Madam Speaker, I'd like to return to the order of courtesies.
Sir, Representative Nathanson has requested a return to courtesies. Is there any objection? Seeing none. Representative Nathanson.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would like to welcome to the House, Madam Speaker, a group that is visiting from my district. There are nearly 40 students, teachers, parents up here from St. Paul Parish School. I'd like to welcome Sandy Conklin and the rest of the visitors. This school has nearly 300 students. We have students here from the fourth grade today. The school teaches PE, music and drama, science, reading, computer technology, religion, Spanish, sports, and more. Welcome.
Welcome to your capital and to your house, and you sound like a busy group. Thank you. Any further courtesies? Final reading, memorials, and resolutions. The chair requests unanimous consent that consideration of House Joint Memorial 8 be made a special order of business immediately following the order of business of special committee reports on Wednesday, April 15th, 2009 calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Whoa. Bills, reports, and other business lying on the table. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 114 related to academic degrees and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 115 related to Oregon University System payroll deduction. Senate Bill 327 related to the practice of naturopathic medicine and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 330 related to voters' pamphlet. Senate Bill 496 related to Oregon growth account and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 589 related to taxation of Indian tribal land and prescribing an effective date.
Bills read first time are passed to the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of Senate bills. Third reading of Senate bills. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 189 relating to forest land fire protection.
The question now arises upon the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 189. Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This bill comes from the Agriculture, Natural Resources, and Rural Communities Committee. It is an important change or update for the Joint Forest Land Classification Committee. The small and sort of strange pieces of land that have all kinds of possible uses from agriculture to forest are some of the lands that are in question and under consideration by the committees. The testimony bore out the fact that it's important to have people on the ground in these communities that can make the best determinations and give input into what's best for these particular kinds of lands. When you add the fire marshal's input, you are getting attention to fire suppression. That issue alone would compel anyone, I think, on the floor to vote for this. When you have attention to fire suppression, it's safer for everyone. It's an appropriate update for this committee, and I hope that you will join me in voting aye. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Gilliam, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Roblin, how do you vote? Aye. Representative Gelzer, how do you vote? Representative Gelzer? Gelzer votes aye. Representative Smith votes aye. Representative Greenlick, how do you vote? Greenlick votes aye. Senate Bill 189, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Other business of the House. Other business of the Senate. Orders of the day have been completed. Announcements. No announcements? Announcements? No announcements? Remonstrances. Representative Wisnant.
Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Oh, no.
It's hard to be humble. My wife told me I should be humble, and I appreciate all the members of this body who have come up to congratulate me. The college basketball season is a long, long road. I'm proud of my North Carolina Tar Heels who won last night. I'm proud of them because they're student athletes. Three of the starters were fourth-year seniors and stayed around to get their degree. And for all the new members of this body, however, you must recognize that the reason I finally decided to stand up and recognize this great victory is I had the pleasure of the last two sessions, the special session of February and the last legislative session, of having to get up to recognize and congratulate the OSU Beavers for beating the University of North Carolina for the baseball national championship. So please, colleagues, congratulate the Tar Heels. You have the connection is Representative Wisnant from rural Deschutes County and my wife's family from North Carolina, too. So thank you. And we also have Senator Dingfelder, Representative from East Multnomah County's legislative assistant, a Carolina grad, and we have other people in the building. So thank you, please, colleagues.
And this was one of the times where I urged the good representative not to be humble. Further remonstrances. Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have to say that North Carolina did a great job. We have a young man from Medford that plays on Duke, so I was a Duke fan the whole year. But we have to capitulate and say that North Carolina is the best team in the United States this year.
Further remonstrances. Representative Jensen. Adjournment 10:15 Wednesday, April 8th.
Madam Speaker, I move the House adjourn until 10:15 a.m. Wednesday, April 8, 2009.
Representative Jensen moves the House adjourn until 10:15 a.m. Wednesday, April 8, 2009. Without objection, the House is adjourned. Amen.